It will be a lot of fun at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center on Saturday night as the film Back to the Future will be shown with the Philadelphia Orchestra playing the music. Yes, you can recharge your flux capacitor and get ready to celebrate the movie classic as you've never seen or heard it before. It is celebrating its 40th anniversary of the movie, and it is incredible, especially with the Philadelphia Orchestra. This morning, to tell us more, we welcome Steve Linder. He is producer for Film Concerts Live, who makes all of this stuff possible, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Steve to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Joe. The pleasure is mine.
So give us a sense of overall what you do and how this all came to be a thing.
Well, along with my producing partner, Jamie Richardson, we are responsible for producing a variety of film with orchestra projects. Currently, we have 24 films that we tour around the world, everything from obviously Back to the Future to a number of the John Williams, Steven Spielberg titles, Jurassic Park, Jaws, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, a number of Bond films, The Princess Bride, and the list goes on. So we're responsible for coming up with the idea of or ideas of which film or films to produce in this marketplace, and then we hire all the people to do all the technical work that's required to make it actually possible to show this this weekend in Saratoga.
What goes into that as far as your, once you have the arrangement, then like bringing on the Philadelphia Orchestra, then you just hand it over to them? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of steps involved in putting this together. First, we have to pick the film. Second, we have to evaluate the music. So, for example, interestingly, for Back to the Future, when we first started looking at this title around 2015 for the 30th anniversary of the film, we realized there's actually less than 50 minutes of orchestral music in the final version of the film. We knew there was more that was written, but it was not used. So we approached Alan Silvestri, the composer of Back to the Future, and asked if he would be interested in re-looking at the film on the 30th anniversary and adding new score. So he did do that, added about 20 minutes of score to the film, which makes it worth having the Philadelphia Orchestra play the score live. If they're sitting there doing nothing all night, it doesn't make much sense. So we wanted it to be meaningful for them. That's one of just one of the challenges that goes into sort of picking the right film. Obviously, the criteria are A, it has to be a great film, no question about that. B, the music has to be great, and it has to play on two levels. One, it has to be great for the audience. Everybody knows Back to the Future theme. In fact, Coldplay used it as entry music for one of their recent tours.
Right.
Chris Martin is a huge fan of Alan Silvestri and of Back to the Future. And the music also has to be engaging to the orchestra. It's got to be meaningful to the orchestra, because if they're playing whole notes all night, they're not going to be particularly interested. So we try to thread the needle of something that is going to work in the marketplace from a sales standpoint, and it's going to be popular enough for orchestras to want to book it and people would want to come see it. But we also want to make it artistically interesting and music at the highest artistic level. And I think we've done a pretty good job with the selection of films that we have.
So let me show off some of my business acumen, Steve, which is,
okay.
I assume, my assumption is that since these, there are more and more of these, and that they are very popular.
I think that's a very safe assumption.
Yeah.
You know, I think it goes back to, first of all, it goes back to the history of film. Beginning of film 100 years ago, film presentations were done in two ways. One, in front of a large communal audience in excess of, you know, 500 to 1,000 to 2,000. The first film I ever saw, which was not 100 years ago, mind you, was at Radio City Music Hall in the 1960s. to see Mary Poppins, and there were 6,000 people there. So that's how film started. They also started with live music. So in the days of silent films, music was played live, either by a small ensemble or an organist or a band, whatever was appropriate. And then that all seemed to go away with the advent of talkies, and music was embedded into the film, so the live music went away, and then people's viewing habits changed. So, you look into the 80s when you had VHS and Betamax and then DVDs and people want downloading films, and it became somewhat of a communal experience, but also a more singular experience. And what we're doing with this and why it's so popular is it's an opportunity for people to go back to what film going was all about, sharing this experience with a large group of people. There is no comparison. People who love Back to the Future, everybody loves Back to the Future, and many people say it's their favorite film. But watching it every year on a DVD at home, which is perfectly legitimate, is not the same experience as seeing it live with thousands of people. It is just, it is almost inexplicable or unexplainable as to why it happens, but the power of the music, the power of the live orchestra, and in this case, the Philadelphia Orchestra, and Steve Reinecke, that power is unmatched. And it leaves virtually every single person leaving the theater saying, that was really great. That was fun. Oh my God, I didn't realize the music was so great. And they're hearing, in some cases, an orchestra for the first time. That's kind of why we do it. We do it, A, because it's artistically pleasing, and B, because it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah. The first time I saw a film and with a live orchestra, 2 decades ago or so, I remember that excitement of thinking, my God, something could really go wrong. But you don't really feel.
And it does.
Well,
rarely.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because it doesn't seem like it does. It does seem very rare. And yet, obviously that timing has to be pretty perfect.
Sure. I mean, we have an excellent technical team. We have a tech director at every one of our shows. In some cases, we have a sound engineer, depending on the complexity of the project. And they are in charge. They are our producers on the ground, and they make sure things are working, and they work with the projectionist, and they work with the orchestra management to make sure everybody has what they need. So it is a pretty seamless experience. And yes, things do go wrong, but it is a rare occasion where that happens.
Well, Back to the Future in Concert takes place at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center this Saturday, the 23rd, at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more information by going to SPAC.org, SPAC.org. Steve Reinecke will be the conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Steve Linder is producer of Film Concerts Live. Steve, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate you joining us and for bringing us these incredible events.
Well, thank you very much for talking about Back to the Future and Saratoga and the Philadelphia Orchestra and Steve Reinecke. If you haven't experienced this kind of an event, or if you're just a fan of Back to the Future, or you just want a great night out at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, I think you're in for a rare, rare treat.
Really good stuff. It's Back to the Future in Concert with the Philadelphia Orchestra Saturday, the 23rd at 7:30, SPAC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.